Knife Talk is sponsored by Evenheat, the manufacturer of the finest knife heat treat ovens available. Find your next heat treat oven at evenheat-kiln.com. So welcome to another episode of Knife Talk. Now today I'll be chatting with another great knife maker. It's Don from Don Wynn Knives. Welcome to the show, Don. How are you today?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
I'm very good, very good. Good to hear you're good, good. So for those that don't know Don, he makes these, well, they're beautiful and just very highly distinctive kitchen knives. So can you tell the audience a little bit about yourself, Don?
Yeah, so I've been making knives since 2011, basically. I started just kind of out of the blue. I was cooking at home, and then I hated dull knives, and then eventually somehow I started watching YouTube videos on sharpening, and then that led to me watching YouTube videos of, you know, like Japanese masters forging swords in Yanagiba, and I was at a strange point in my life where I wanted to, I don't know, find something for me instead of find something for someone else. And so I decided right then and there I was going to make knives. So I spent about a year studying knives, just how to make them, like what do I need to get started, and just how to actually get the things like rolling. Yeah. So I made my first knife about a year later, and then from there on, did it part-time during school, and then I'm full-time now.
Yeah, okay, cool. So why kitchen knives? So is that you went on YouTube, you saw these people making knives. Why specifically kitchen knives?
I don't really know. I guess it's because I liked cooking, and the selfish part of me just makes I just want to make whatever I like using. So there's nothing romantic about just using a knife every day, putting the research and the time and all of that work and effort into something that just cuts really well compared to what you've been using before.
Yeah, yeah. And I'd say pretty much the same for me as well. So going into kitchen knives, because I love being in the kitchen, you know, and knives have always been that sort of fascination. So it just marries the two up really nicely.
Exactly.
So you're a full-time maker now. How long have you been full-time?
I started full-time last year. It's been about 1 year, a little bit over a year now.
Wow. I've got to say, the quality on your knives is just fantastic. I love them. So who would be your average customer? Are you supplying to chefs or to home cooks or a mix of both?
A mix of both. Actually, surprisingly, a lot more home cooks than I expected. I thought there'd be more chefs. But the food scene is just growing so much, especially with people just at home wanting to get, you know, more into what they're making and into the tools that they're using. Hmm. I found a lot of chefs, they focus a lot on just the utility of knives and not really a little bit of the aesthetics, but I find a lot of home users really dive into that more.
Yeah, yeah. And I suppose a lot of that is due to things like the Food Network and, you know, and chefs have basically become celebrities now, aren't they? They're releasing books, they're always on the TV, always in the media in front of us. And I think everybody thinks, well, I can have a piece of that. You know, I can learn from these guys, and everybody's cooking more, which is brilliant.
Exactly. That's the same thought I had.
Hmm. So tell us about your workshop. Is that at home?
Yeah, it's at home. I actually just moved a couple months ago. I was working out of my parents' garage for the whole time, just a single, you know, one-car garage space. Hmm. I had everything cramped in there. And that's what I worked out of for 6 years, I think. And then just last year, my parents bought a new house, and I'm really fortunate that they let me rent it out. And there's a big, nice workshop here. A lot of space, a lot of land. So there's a lot of organization that needs to happen before I actually, like, you know, get a little bit more efficient with it. But it's really nice so far.
Yeah. If you've got more space, you can fit more stuff in there. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
So what's on your bench today? What's your current project?
Oh, man. So usually I have a bunch of knives on the bench at once. So then I just slowly work towards them, like just slowly work to get them done here and there. So right now I've got, two chef's knives, one big Nakiri, and I have kind of a weird chopper cleaver hybrid experimental project for myself. Hmm. It's kind of a nonsensical object. Like I have no idea how it's actually going to be used, but it's just something for fun. Every now and then I do something just for fun for myself.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So when you say you've got a few things on your bench at once, Is that because there's a certain process that you just hate doing? And you're like, oh, I'll put that off. Let's do the fun bit again. And I'll keep putting bits off. I'm pretty much the same.
It's half that. And then part of it is just like you just work more efficient in batches.
Yeah.
At least for me, small batches. I don't like to do huge batches.
Mm.
But like if I'm just profiling out blades or grinding them and heat treating them, it's easier to do them in 4, 5, 6 at a time.
Yeah.
And then once that's all done, then just focus on one or two to grind, finish out the handle. And so that's how my work rhythm goes. I'll do a batch of like 5 or 6 just to start, and then I focus on one or two afterwards.
Right. Okay. Gotcha. Okay. So, I mean, steel choice, do you have a favorite at all?
I use 52-100 and W2. They're about equal for me in terms of enjoyment.
Hmm.
I like the W2 just because, you know, like the Hamon and kind of the creative freedom with it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it can get frustrating, whereas 52-100, like, I can quench that full thickness. Comes out straight every time. There's usually never any fuss with it, whereas W2, like, I run into issues kind of frequently.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So, I mean, do you have a preferred grind as well?
Yeah. There's a grind that I started doing a little bit over a year ago, and it was inspired by the Japanese, like, kato knife. It's, like, a really big, hefty workhorse. And when I read about it online, people were raving about it, and I had no idea how it actually worked because they're beefy, they're thick, like quarter inch thick spine, until I tried one at a party like years ago. And the instant I did a cut with it, I was like, okay, I get it. So that inspired me. And then I started playing around with that, just really thick stock, like going crazy with the taper, thin edge all the way up to the spine and a thin tip. And I ended up liking the feel of it. I like the balance. I like the way it cut. The feel of it was the most important for me, just because like you pick up a lot of knives and they're light. And that's not to say it's a bad thing, but I like heft in a blade. I like it to be blade heavy. I like the spine to be super thick, and it just feels nice under your, like, the pinch grip.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was going to say actually with the handles that you do, I mean, you make these beautiful, beautiful handles. For those who haven't seen the pictures on Instagram, go and take a look, because they're like highly angular. They've got these lovely angles going all around them. But you've got this sort of, it's almost like an arrow point, haven't you? Almost as it mimics the tip of the blade.
Yeah.
So I mean, I can imagine that being very handy. So, you know, if you're doing a pinch grip, it's sort of out of your way. If you're one of those guys who likes to put a finger down the spine, you've got these sort of rests as well for your curled fingers or a hammer grip. It just seems really useful. And I'm amazed that I haven't seen more people, working on that kind of idea of having these sort of ledges that you can sort of rest fingers on and so on.
I'm a little surprised too. I actually don't know when or how I came up with that, but it's just been with my design since the beginning. And yeah, you're right. When you do a pinch grip, like the middle finger, it sits right in the crease of your finger. Mm. It's completely transparent to me. I don't feel it. It's nice, and it actually indexes your grip a little bit. That's another important part to my handles. Is like, I don't like handles that are, they lock your hand in one grip and just that single grip. I like to be able to have, like you said, like a pointed grip, a pinch grip, sometimes hammer. I like flexibility and being able to move your hands around without feeling like out of place.
Yeah, yeah. And I think because yours are so distinctive, I think if anybody else did do that now, you'd be instantly, oh, well, you're obviously copying Don's knives, you know? So, yeah, I think they're very, very clever. And, yeah, I can certainly see other people sort of trying versions of that. But keep it on sort of handles. Do you have a favorite handle material that you like to work with?
Yes and no. There's a material that I use every now and then called C-Tech. It's that honeycomb, like aluminum composite resin kind of stuff.
Oh, right. Okay.
I really like the way it looks. It grinds like butter and it finishes pretty easily.
Hmm.
I don't use it that often just because I tend to not like to use the same material like repetitively.
Yeah.
So I take long breaks between using the same material.
Okay. Sorry, I mean, this is going to sound like I'm just drilling questions at you, but because I make kitchen knives too, and yours are far superior to mine, I've just got so many questions for you.
That's fine.
Have you got a particular grind that you help that you find helps with food release? I know you said you're currently working with this sort of super thick heel and going to a very fine point. But with regards to sort of food release, do you find something like an S grind or something that helps?
I personally do a convex grind.
Right.
But with a really thin geometry, like towards the edge, it's almost flat. And then it starts to convex about midway up the blade. And it has a slight convex all the way from top to bottom, really.
Hmm.
But I've used S-grind blades, and I like them. It's just personally, I haven't done one. And I don't know, maybe I'll try later on
in my career.
But I've just stuck with the convex so much. I like the weight of it. I like the feel. And to me, it feels nice to cut with them.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Do you do any sort of testing on your blades at all then?
Yeah, I generally test all my blades on potatoes. That's a really nice cut. You get a sense of how much it wedges and how much it sticks.
Yeah.
And then carrots and onions. Carrots are really good for like the geometry right at the edge. And then onions are really good for the tip, like the tip work. Mm. Not too thick, not too thin. I've made knives that were way too thin at the tip, and they cut really well, but you have to be super careful with them, and people get off-put, like, knives like that.
And that's what I find, actually. If I'm doing work for a sort of an established chef, they generally want something very, very fine. But when you sort of home cooks, they'll say, well, we want, a proper chef's knife. We want something that, a real chef would use. But yeah, it's sometimes it's sort of educating them that, a very, very fine edge isn't the most durable for a standard home kitchen where, your crazy uncle over Christmas may be using the knife, or your grandmother may pick it up one day. It needs that looking after, doesn't it?
I was going to say, a lot of times it's been the opposite for me too. Just the chefs will abuse their knives, like, maybe not abuse, but they use them hard.
Hmm.
And the delicate knives aren't suitable for them. But everyone has their own personal use.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Okay. So do you do any like knife shows or exhibitions at all?
I go to shows every now and then, mostly for fun though. I don't really sell shows.
Hmm.
I have a pretty good market online, and I don't really have trouble selling on there. Whereas with a show, you have to get a table, you have to stay at the table. I like the networking part of the shows the most.
Yeah.
So yeah. I go to Blade Show, and then I went to Eugene Knife Show last year. I'm thinking of going again.
Nice. Unfortunately, where I am, there's just nothing around. I'm in the middle of nowhere. But we do have this crazy little sort of a local village, and it turns into a knife village once a year. And so you get all these these knife makers come for the whole weekend. And it's really crazy because there's a bit of a history in the area of knife making, but not anymore, unfortunately. So it's almost like some sort of historic fete, and everybody comes together. It's great, but it's nothing like the Blade Show. It's nothing like any of these big shows, So I've talked on the show in the past about this perfect balanced knife for a chef. Do you think such thing exists, or do you think everybody's got their different taste and that, there's not one perfect knife for everybody?
I think everybody has their own personal tastes, and you may have a perfect knife for somebody, but you give it to somebody else and they might think it's just garbage.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah. It is always difficult, isn't it? I mean, it's sort of the dream for a lot of knife makers to have this one knife that they've perfected, and they can just hammer these out, and that's what they're known for, this particular knife. Mm-hmm. But yeah, when you do custom knives and you're speaking to different people, yeah, you do have to adapt. So it's not one size fits all.
Mm-hmm.
So I've noticed that you've made a couple of EDC knives over the past few weeks. So is that something you're going to be doing more of, or you're going to stick with kitchen knives and this was just a sort of an experiment? What's all that about?
I'm not really sure. I've made a couple EDCs in the past, and then I've made a few other like outdoors knives. Like I've made a chopper. I've made a couple choppers, actually.
Hmm.
But yeah, mostly my focus is on kitchen knives. It's just every now and then I feel like making something different.
Yeah, yeah.
But the surprising thing is I thought the EDCs would sell like a lot quicker, but I guess people just like me for my culinary stuff more. And I like making the kitchen knives more. I actually get tired of the EDCs really quick.
Yeah, yeah. And again, it's one of, I talked about this before on the show, that it's easier to get known for a particular style of knife, isn't it? But that can sort of pigeonhole you, where you want to try something different, but you're not really known for that. So your customer base doesn't sort of reflect what you're trying to do, you know?
Right.
Let's talk about one of our sponsors, Tormek. To get great razor-sharp and repeatable edges, you're going to need a Tormek. To find out more, go to Tormek.com, which is T-O-R-M-E-K.com. Okay, let's get back to the show. So how much leeway do you give to a customer with regards to designs? I mean, do you ever get commissioned for something that you just don't like the look of? Then you sort of say, well, I prefer not to, or do you work with the customer from the very beginning?
It's surprisingly been pretty good. I only do a few orders a year nowadays, so I don't really get like a huge influx of people wanting something, you know, wild. Hmm. And the few people that do get orders with me, they're usually really good about it. They know what I'm good at. They want my knives for that reason. And so they usually leave it up to me to come up with the design. Like, they give parameters on what they're looking for in a knife, and then the rest is up to me. Or, you know, I've had knives where they want it completely spec'd out to certain dimensions and weights and stuff, but still keeping the aesthetic. I usually don't get anybody who's like, oh, I want this with this kind of profile, this kind of handle shape and blah. And it's like totally different. But I guess I'm fortunate in that aspect. People come to me for what I've been known for.
Yeah, yeah. And I suppose that's another bonus of doing something so specific. As I say, your knives, they're instantly your... If I saw a knife of yours, I could tell it was your knife. And I suppose that sort of helps you in a way, because people, you know, they come to you for that's something special, you know?
Right.
So... Do you have somebody that keeps you in check and gives sort of critique on your work? I mean, we all sort of post on Instagram and Facebook and so on, and generally people are very nice and respectful. But do you have somebody who can see any sort of minor faults and pushes you to make it better each time?
I actually do. I'm in this group chat on Facebook with Marco, with William Brigham, Tom Ward, and Edward Braun. And I'll post knives on there, and I'll ask for opinions or critique and stuff. And sometimes, you know, they'll be like, that handle material doesn't really work with that knife, or your fit and finish here, you know, like it might be lacking in some aspects, or like the visual balance isn't right.
Hmm.
So we're pretty good to each other in terms of just giving feedback and direction to improve.
Yeah.
And then I was going to say, I actually have an apprentice now that I'll, if I have issues with a certain knife, he gives a second opinion on it.
So it's not just you alone in the shop then?
Right. So it's now two people.
Nice. Nice. Okay. So another question I've asked in the past, but it's always good to get different opinions. So particularly, you know, with yours, your brand is you. Your name's on the blade. So how do you scale up production and grow that business without losing that sort of sense of you in each blade?
That's something I've been thinking about for quite a while. I'm not really sure what the answer is.
Hmm.
So I have plans of expanding like the brand and the name and making a lot more. But then at a certain point, like if my hands aren't on the blade as much, like is it still a Don Wynn knife? And so my idea was to do, you know, a really high-end line where I just kind of make the craziest projects that just come to my mind. And then having a separate, you know, like a more mid-range knife for a lot of the, you know, normal chefs and home cooks at home, where they might not want to spend, you know, a lot and get this like really ornate piece.
It's always a difficult one, and something that, you know, people ask me quite often as well, and I've got no answer for it, and everybody seems to have a different answer. But yeah, it's very, very difficult. So let's go back to your knives and your process. So do you forge your knives? Do you how are they shaped? Is it stock removal? What's your process for that?
Yeah, stock removal. My knives are pretty simple in nature. Like, I just cut out the blade shapes out of the bar stock, and then if it's 50-100, I'll do, you know, the holes, and then I'll profile it out. And then from there, it just goes straight to heat treat, and I heat treat them full thickness.
Yeah.
If I do W2, then I'll do a grind on it beforehand, just so I can get, you know, the difference in thermal mass from the spine to the edge. I I did forge my knives years back when I first started. That's when I was working out of the school workshop, and they had a forge and stuff like that. And then now I want to get a forge again so I can start going back to the hammer. That was a lot of fun that I just miss. And it's a lot of flexibility that I miss, too. Is you can make whatever shapes you want.
Yeah, yeah. But I speak to a lot of other knife makers, and the majority are forging their blades. And I'm the same. I don't. My blades are stock removal. And I talked about this in a past episode with Mareko, which was just a week or so ago, about how sort of modern steels, they're, you know, they perform very, very well. You know, with a flat bar stock, they'll perform just as well as a forged blade.
They do.
They're less likely to get cracks or inclusions. But yeah, there is just something very cool, isn't it, about having some fire and a big hammer and just knocking it
out. And this might be unscientific, but it tells a nice story when, you know, it was forged under a fire. And people buy that kind of, you know, relationship with the steel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, completely. Completely. So even the sort of, I generally try to make a video with each customer knife that I make. Just a short sort of 2 or 3 minute video showing various processes of the knife that they're making. But it's always the sort of the quench, or, you know, when the metal's red hot, that's the bit everybody's interested in, you know, that sort of transformation from a bit of steel to becoming a knife. So yeah, as much as I'd like to say, well, I, you know, maybe a stock removal knife is probably structurally better and maybe performs better. It'll just never be as cool as a forged knife. So like you, I think I'm going to have to sort of take that jump at some point and start forging knives.
Mm-hmm.
So if you weren't making knives, what do you think you'd be doing with your life?
I actually had a crossroad when I graduated college a little bit over a year ago. I was debating, do I make knives or do I pursue a career in motorsport engineering? Because during college, I was in a club that made formula race cars, like small scale formula cars. Like we designed and built everything from ground up.
Wow. And you raced these too?
Yeah, we did.
Oh,
yeah.
Awesome.
And that was one of my childhood dreams, was, you know, designing cars. That's one of the joys I have with making knives, is to be able to design them and create them. And I was at a 50-50 decision, either, you know, pursuing something engineering related with motorsport, or to do full-time knives. So if I wasn't doing knives, who knows where I'd be right now. So across the country, trying to get a job in, you know, like Corvette racing or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's one of the joys really of knife making as well, isn't it? That you can, you know, you can set up shop at home or wherever you are, and, you know, and that's where you work. You've got no boss here. You're your own man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but yeah, motorsport, that would be cool. That would be very cool.
It's cutthroat, though. It's so intense with motorsport. With the knives, I can work at my own pace.
Yeah.
Just do my own thing.
Now, I'd imagine very competitive as well to get into.
Yeah.
It's going to be difficult, yeah. Okay, so I'm going to finish with the same question that I ask everybody at the end of every show, which is, whose work is impressing you and inspiring you at the moment?
There's quite a few. So let's see, just like fit and finish and design and execution, Kyle Royer, he's one of them. Jean-Louis Regal and Julian Antunes, they all make, you know, like extremely well executed designs. All of them, like the fin finish is just through the roof. So I like stuff like that a lot, where it's just, you might never know like when you're going to get to that point in terms of just being able to create something at that level. And then there's people like Nick Wheeler and Mariko.
Oh, God, we're going to have some alarm going off in a second because Nick Wheeler's name is mentioned in every episode.
I wonder how many times it's been now. But yeah, Nick Wheeler's one. He's just been inspirational with like his knowledge and just the things he makes. And then Mariko, the same way. He's super open about his process. His knives are incredible. I've used them. I've handled them. And we're best friends, basically.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
He's a great inspiration. Just like more than just knives, he's a great person.
Yeah, and man, he can talk as well, can't he?
Oh yeah, I just listened to his podcast too. It was good.
He barely came up for breath. It was incredible.
And then outside of knives, actually, one of my role models is Ivan Orkin of Ivan Ramen in New York.
Right. Yeah.
He's just got such an interesting viewpoint in making his food. And I just like, it's so, I don't know what's the word to describe it. It speaks to my soul, essentially.
Hmm.
In his opening episode in Chef's Table, he says, I'm the kind of a go fuck yourself kind of guy. And I don't know, I like that a lot.
Yeah. Spirited attitude.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Dom, for taking the time out. I'm going to let you get back to your shop and finish off those beautiful knives that you do. If somebody wanted a knife from you, where would they find you online and how would they get hold of a knife?
If you go to donwinknives.com into the contact/newsletter page, there's a newsletter sign up. That's where I sell all my stuff. That's when I do updates on my order list opening and any other events going on.
Cool. Okay. Well, thank you so much. And hopefully we speak to you again soon.
Thank you every time.